Absolute power corrupts absolutely. What that means is whenever a person has power over other people or things, it can make them corrupt. It can morally destroy their nature and fill them with destructive pride. We've all heard that proverb before, no doubt. Power is one of the themes of life, and especially power struggles. Power is necessary to protect and preserve any group, family, or nation. We want someone to have the power to protect internally from anarchy and externally from hostilities and hostiles. So it's good that we have armies and police and fathers. Yet power is dangerous, as it can easily turn against those who are to protect and serve us. So the tension in life is between those who recognise the necessity of power and those who perceive the danger of power. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could trust those with power? Our families would be stronger and secure places. Nations would be different, wouldn't they? How much do we need that around the world at the moment? We don't trust those with power, whether political or government or media or businesses. Power and authority is necessary, but there are always problems. Even Gladys recently was accused of power going to her head. She has ultimate control at the moment, although I think that criticism is misguided. She is serving and protecting us in this difficult time. And as Ali prayed as well, so is Scott Morrison and many leaders around the world. But power is such a struggle. It is such a problem in human history and today. Even COVID-19 is called the coronavirus because the protein has a little crown on its head. Effectively, the coronavirus is a wannabe king. It is trying to rule and run our lives, and it has been way too successful at the moment. In one sense, it's similar to any fake king or leader. Those who have power, and the problem lies if they put themselves ultimately up against the true king, the Lord Almighty, who rules rightly over the world he made, and such power that they try and exercise in the face of God is corrupt, and those they protect, they suffer. Now, Psalm 1 last week, we described evil people, didn't we? We heard that they are people who walk and stand and sit. Psalm 2 today describes rebellion against God. We see that people, nations, kings of the earth are rising up against God and his king and his rightful rule over the world he made. And yet we ignore him, from our leaders to nations to individuals. We ignore his rightful rule over our life. But the challenge for us this morning from Psalm 2 is that the power and authority we see in our world impacts how we see God's rightful rule over our lives and whether we actually take refuge in him. See, we still want our own power and authority, even over our individual lives. For there are still aspects of our life we still don't trust God with. As he is king, he's to be king of our hearts and everything in our lives. For God has established his kingdom and his king, and that rules and reigns now and forever. But the question for us this morning is, do we believe that and do we trust that ourselves? Well, hence why the psalmist starts with the right question in verse 1, doesn't he? Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and his anointed. You know, the psalmist, I think, is describing a scene like a small child that grabs the leg of their parents and tries to prevent them from leaving the room or house. They think their small frame connected to your leg will be able to stop your bigger frame from moving. Of course, the child is unable to stop you moving. We simply pick them up and put them in the corner and walk out, don't we? Well, the nations and the rulers and people behave like that child with great petulance. Yeah, they're conspiring against the Lord, conspiring against him and his anointed. The people, though, the nations, they plot in vain. We see this around the world of people who oppose the rule of the Lord, and through the history of the world, especially in the Bible. Pharaoh plotted against God's leader Moses. Joshua faced hostility from the nation of Canaan. King David and God's people suffered hostility from the nations. The question of Psalm 2 is, why is it when God acts in the world and God appoints a ruler of his people for the good of them and the whole world, why do they face opposition? You go back a few years, decades, 1960, Chairman Mao tried to eliminate Christianity. Yet it's projected in 2030 there'll be 400 million Christians in China. Many in the Middle East are trying to suppress Christians and our God. And the question of Psalm 2 is, why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? And you notice in verse 3, they do it with such arrogance. Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. That's what ISIS were thinking as they murdered thousands of Christians, or hundreds of Christians, and those who killed the 12 Nigerian Christians recently. Such opposition is absolutely in vain, like a child wrapped around your leg. Now, these martyrs of the Christian faith will one day be vindicated. But it's just a snapshot, really, of power, of nations who rise up against the God, against God and his rightful rule. But what does God say about such things? Verse 4. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, God laughs. He derides, he scoffs, and he rebukes at such foolishness. You know, we saw at the end of Psalm 1, the Lord knows the way of the blessed, yet the way of the wicked will perish. So how foolish was Pharaoh when he could tried to defile God's leader? How stupid was Pharaoh? He had to tremble when God sent the plagues. I mean, Canaan couldn't stand against Joshua's God and the Lord of heaven and earth. Remember the walls of Jericho falling down? Even Goliath the giant, he was such a fool. Goliath must have had a moment. Oh dear. The one in heaven laughs. The Lord has all authority. Well, not just the Lord, but interestingly, this psalm here has appointed one to be a king who will also be his son. I've installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decrees. He said, my son, he said to me, you are my son, today I've become your father. But this is not a Star Wars moment. No, this son will rule and reign not just over some small area, but in verse 8 we see that he will reign, is installed and king over all the nations, over all the earth. Who do we think we are to shake our fists at God and his king? Why do we dare to shake our fists at the Son who has unparalleled authority given to him by God himself? And those who shake their fists at God, it's laughable. It's not funny, but ridiculous. They all say, let's escape from the Lord's anointed, yet he rebukes them. And his authority is matched by his power, his rule will crush all rebellion. And it's not a very attractive picture, is it? You know, we see in our world absolute power, or our experience in human history of absolute power has been evil. Absolute power corrupts. But what if there was a king with all power and authority described in this psalm, who is in fact good, absolutely good, that rules with love and mercy that works for our good? Be hard to imagine, wouldn't it? But that is what we see here. In fact, look, he judges those wannabe kings, these nations, these people who oppose the Lord and his king. And we look at verse 9, it's quite a violent image, isn't it? This judgment of God through his son. This king, he will dash them like pieces of pottery. He will crush them. You know, God sets up his king. His king will be the instrument of judgment on the nations who don't submit to him. They'll be utterly crushed. It's foolish. It's laughable to dismiss the Lord's power and authority. But even now, God is not satisfied with that being the last word. But there's a great warning for those who set themselves up as powers against the Lord. Look at verse 10. Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. You can't avoid reality. You can't avoid the reality that the Lord rules over everything. You know, many rulers exalt themselves. They pretend they're able to rule over all manners of things. Our favourite one to pick on, not Donald Trump, but he's another category. But King Jong-un, you know, he's putting himself up as the ruler of the world, yet his rule is subject to his health. But the Lord is not subject to his health or anything. He is ruler and Lord over all, and true wisdom comes from acknowledging his rule through his son. True wisdom comes from fear and trembling before him. But look at verse 12, kiss his son. You know, this is strange language. The kiss his son essentially means the way of reverence and submission to God, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in his way by his wrath that can flare up at any moment. Kiss the son. Acknowledge him who is truly in control. It means to show true respect to him, for he is the one who will judge. God's king is given all authority in heaven and earth. And I guess through this difficult psalm, as the nations conspire and God laughs, and this picture of destruction, there is great comfort. You know, Psalm 2 ends with, blessed are all who take refuge in him. Now, these words would have been heard by God's people as they read these psalms, as they look to their kings of the day. And no doubt they thought, yes, this divinic king is the one that I should take refuge in. God's king will look after me and rescue me. But if we know what happened, the nations did gather against Jerusalem and God's king, his anointed sons of David. They marched and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. They took the king and all God's people in exile. And the line of kings anointed by God failed and disappeared. For David is not the perfect king. But where do the people look for this king that they can find refuge in? Well, we know where the story goes, don't we? We cast our eyes forward to discover this psalm fits Jesus better than any Davidic king or any king for that matter. For we see the son of Psalm 2 is the Lord Jesus. If we have a look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open and we saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Well, Jesus is the ruler from the line of David, whom God anointed by his Spirit, to whom God gave the ends of the earth as his inheritance, his possession. But what Jesus did in his earthly rule was not in the first place this vision of an all-crushing triumph and ruler, not the vision of someone subduing all the nations and smashing the enemies like a pot. You know, Jesus wasn't the crusher, he was the crushed. He was not the breaker, but the broken. Now, he did not hold in his hands a rod of iron, but iron nails pierced his body and held them to the cross. You know, the nations of the earth and even his own people gathered around him and scoffed at him and laughed at him, conspired against him. He was crowned, but with a crown of thorns, enthroned, yes, but on a Roman cross, and declared to be the king of the Jews, but with as much scorn and mocking the people could muster. This is a picture of the Son of Psalm 2. But the joke was on them. See, sin and evil stood to scoff at God's plans, claiming to have outwitted, outlasted, and outplayed, even overthrowing him by crucifying him on the cross. Humans expressed their utter rejection of God's anointed king. But in his death on this cross, Jesus bore the brunt of all that would oppose him or could oppose him. But this was the manner of his triumph. It was like the skill of a martial artist to use the very force of evil to defeat itself. His death turned out to be the means for our sins to be forgiven in him and for the whole world so we could have peace with him. And through this, God made Jesus a shelter so we could take refuge in him. See, in raising him from the dead, God confirmed all this was true. All authority in heaven and earth was given to Jesus. The king at this present time invites his enemies to take refuge in him. It's laughable thinking they could destroy the Son of God, God's anointed king. But that's how the nations and people still think today. They rise up seeking their own power and authority. They conspire against the Lord Almighty and people suffer. But what does Psalm 2 help us to see most clearly? That Jesus is not just a nice guy or a religious leader or a good teacher, but he is Lord. Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth. Even through this virus, even through the chaos of the world leaders at the moment, Jesus is Lord. But this is not just a matter of choice or how you feel about it, but the reality. Jesus is Lord, and Psalm 2 tells us, happy are those who take refuge in him. For now, there is an offer of refuge. Submit to this Lord and to serve him. Now, we know Jesus has all power and authority from Matthew 28, and we are to obey him. You know, we find in Jesus the deepest love you will ever know and the deepest mercy you'll ever receive, the one who rules and exercises power and authority rightly with love. We see what his rule is like when he calls us to love one another and to love your neighbour. It's an easy choice to make, isn't it? But what does it look like to kiss the Son, to live a life of reverence before him, to serve him with fear and trembling? Well, the question I think Psalm 2 asks of us this morning is, what areas of life does Jesus not have power and authority over? Take a moment to think it through. Your hands, your eyes, your mind, ultimately your heart. See, we seek refuge in so many things of this world that end up ruling us. And we see how corrupt those things can be if we don't use them in the way that that is pleasing to God. But blessed is the one who takes refuge in God's King, his Son, that seeks to submit all those things to Jesus and allow him to be king. See, last week in Psalm 1, we started with, blessed is the one who meditates and delights in the law of the Lord. Psalm 2, it ends with a blessing are all who take refuge in the Son. You know, are these two options to choose from? You know, which one is better for me? But to take refuge in the Son is to meditate on his word day and night. For it is a stream of living water that produces fruit, that leads to a life of favour in and with the Lord. A life that acknowledges and submits to God's King in reverence for the one in control who rules with power rightly. You know, today in this time of isolation, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you'll find rest for your souls. Well, there's much to say about Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, but as we work through the Psalms over this term, we'll understand more and more of this life lived under God's King. How to live this life under God's rightful power and authority. You know, today we face corrupt powers and leaders and nations. The one in heaven laughs. Don't look to them or to be influenced by their foolishness. For God's Son has overcome the grave and gives us hope for all who take refuge in him. You know, it means the world is a meaningful place. It means those who do evil will not get away with it. You know, those who abuse their power, thinking themselves as gods, will not stand. You know, ISIS will pay for those Christians they killed. They will be crushed. For every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. But Psalm 2 calls us to do that now. Psalm 2 calls us to submit to the Son, the Lord Jesus, now. So the question for us this morning, will you kiss the Son? Will you surrender to him? Will you surrender your hands, your eyes, your mind, and your heart to the one enthroned in heaven who rules and reigns now and forevermore? Friends, come and find refuge in our great God and King. Find hope, but find a King who loves us, who rules with the right kind of power and authority, the rule of love. Will you pray with me? Our gracious Father, it's humbling to sit together as your people did when this Psalm 2 was written. And shared amongst your people, as we share it amongst us today. Lord, it's humbling to be reminded that you're the one true living God who's in control of all things, that you've given all power and authority to the Lord Jesus. Father, humble us this morning by your Spirit at work in us, that we may kiss the Son, that we may surrender our lives to him and submit our hands, our eyes, our mind, and our hearts to him. Father, help us not to be blinded by those who abuse their power, who shake their fist at you. Don't let their attitudes grab hold of our hearts. But Lord, help us by your Spirit to turn us to the Lord Jesus and to surrender to him. For in him is life and hope. In him is the King who rules with love and mercy and grace. Father, may we hear that message of hope and mercy and grace afresh this morning and take refuge in the Son, to kiss the Son, to live lives in reverence, fear and tremble before him, so that we may live lives worthy of our calling in the Lord Jesus. We pray all these things in his name. Amen.